There's been upwards of 40 some odd police cases. I've had CPS in my life. I've had 47 CPS cases and never lost my kids.
CPS and when. Let's take another call, Aaron. We're going to talk to Carmen. Carmen from Washington.
Welcome,
hi,
Carmen.
I had a story to tell you guys.
Go ahead.
So I have a 17-year-old considered terminally ill. He's had a functional hemispherectomy where they literally cut his brain down the middle. They left the cerebellum and the brainstem. But literally, he's running off half of a brain. Now, with that, he has these huge violent outbursts. It broke the windows out of my house, threatened to kill me and my other two children, along with social workers and police officers. There's been upwards of 40 some odd police cases. I've had CPS in my life. I've had 47 CPS cases and never lost my kids. At this point, I'm pretty well versed in my rights. However, there is a WISE group, a wraparound group that is dealing with my son now, where Sound Mental Health is involved, DDA is involved, a multitude of different agencies. The King County Sheriff's Department is involved. They keep coming in and trying to take my son, but then when they realize that my son is a lot to handle, they've on four separate occasions, CPS has came and just dropped him off in front of my house mid-crisis and left. I have police reports that document this. I'm being pushed by the King County Sheriff's Office and Sound Mental Health to get a lawyer. However, I can't work currently because of how often I have to drop everything and go pick up my son from the hospital. Or we've been in this cycle for 2 years now where he has a violent outburst. The police get called. He knows the things to say. He's learned, you know, I'll kill you, I'll kill myself. And it's an automatic trip to the hospital where he gets to avoid any consequences like not showering and whatnot, that for whatever reason, that's really tough for him. He hates doing it. And so I've tried to on different times to make the incentive good for him, you know, got him a TV, got him a phone, but said, hey man, I'm really going to dig in my heels and, you know, you got to uphold your end of the bargain or I'm going to remove the electronics. Well, he knows now that if I remove the electronics, he can throw rocks through the windows or threaten to kill me, and he gets to go to the hospital where he gets to watch TV and use the phone, and he gets to avoid all consequences. Now, this has been a cycle now for 2 years where the police come, he goes to the hospital. I refuse to go pick him up based on wanting a psychological evaluation done through the state. They don't do it. And CPS ends up picking him up. And after having him in their care for, I don't know, it's been up to a week at some points, they can't deal with it anymore because they've been blasted with rocks. A CPS worker got hit in the back of the head and in the chest. Nurses from the hospital have gotten hit when they came off their god-awful 12-hour shifts. And it took Tacoma police 3 hours to wrangle him. There's also, I had worked with Officer Job up here at King County Sheriff's Office to, you know, give Charlie an opportunity to see where this behavior is leading him, meaning that you know, he's used to going to the hospital. Like, that's the only consequence. And so I figured, you know, okay, maybe he needs to sit in juvenile hall for the weekend, even though I know that there's no case really going to come of it because he is special needs. But he needs to know that if someone gets hurt or something bad enough happens, this would be the alternative end result that he could be facing that he has no reference for. So with that being said, we had finally put that in place. And he was there for all of an hour or two, and he, I guess, said the right things and was shipped out of juvenile detention to the hospital. Mind you, no one called me to let me know this. So Monday, when I called to go pick up my son, nobody could tell me where he was. And I found out this whole story of the social workers, CPS picked him up. And I had active cases at the time. I've had 47 in my 16 years of being a parent. And so, but my social workers were oblivious. Okay. So some other social workers still don't know who this was to this day, picked him up from the hospital after getting blasted with the rocks from Charlie and the nurses and taking the Tacoma police all that time to wrangle him. They get him into a hotel room where he stays for the remainder of the weekend and still don't know who had him up in the hotel room all weekend long, you know, never got that clarification. And nobody contacted me at all. And so we sat down last week, last Friday. There was about 15 of us on this conference call about what resources and what we could do for Charlie. And nobody could come up with anything. CPS is what I feel is biding their time, putting Band-Aids on the situation and waiting for him to turn 18. So then it's DDA's responsibility. However, we've been in this mess for 2 years, this cycle, and it's killing us as a family because CPS keeps threatening to take my kids. But yet when you get a hold of my kids, because there was a notice of removal as of March 6th with whatever 35 cases listed on here for his violence, the CPS literally, no joke, drops him off in front of my house as he's threatening to kill us and throwing rocks at my through my windows. And this is the fourth occasion that this has happened, and I have police reports and documentations to prove it. And I have Sound Mental Health and King County Sheriff's Office pushing me to get a lawyer. However, I'm a single mother of three, and I don't have the money to fork out right out the jump, but I know we would win. I know that that just by getting the notes from these other agencies that have now witnessed this chaos that we've been in, can it's documented in by other government agencies that are implicating CPS saying, hey, man, you're dropping the ball with this family, you know, all the while threatening, you know, you need to do hair follicle tests, you need to do urinalysis tests, you need to do this and that. And I've learned through the years that, no, I'm not doing anything that you say. I'll wait till a judge orders that from me. And you're lucky you're even in my home. I don't even have to let you in my door. But I understand that they have to do their job and they get a call. And a lot of it is from my son's hygiene because he just refuses to shower, which that's a lot of where this is coming from is I'm starting to dig my heels in saying, hey, man, you just got to do it. We all got to do things we don't want to do. But with that being said, CPS flat out, we recorded the conversation last week where CPS said that the
3 minutes
in and said, this is irresponsible. We should not take Charlie home. The RCW states abuse and neglect, not just that, but that if the parent can't provide a safe environment, which I cannot at this time because all of our safety is in jeopardy. But regardless, they want to bring him home. Okay, fine. So we're starting to safety plan that. And the Cynthia Blair, who is the head of CPS up here in Washington, hops on the phone after all of us being on the phone for 3 hours on these Zoom calls. She hops on and we are starting the safety plan. Well, all of a sudden we hear her chime back on the call and said, oh, I had to take an emergency call. And we're like three steps ahead of where she chimes in at. And I'm like, hold up. You know, we all set this appointment. You said you were available at 4:00. And yet here you are hopping on and off the call like my son isn't important or my family isn't important. And so I laid into her
2 minutes
from that whole conversation and that whole process. The King County Sheriff's Office and Sound Mental Health are like, you need to get a lawyer. You need to get a lawyer.
Hold on
but
a second.
I'm hitting the brick wall.
Carmen.
Go ahead.
Did you have a question that you wanted to ask me?
Yes, I need to know what type of lawyer I need and where I can find one that will take payment upon completion because I don't have the money to fork out right away.
I can tell the type of lawyer that you need. I can't tell you whether that person will take payment upon completion. You know, payment on completion effectively means that the lawyer is financing your case. And there's not a lot of lawyers that will do that just from a business perspective, right?
I understand.
But the type of lawyer you need is you need an experienced CPS attorney, hopefully that he or she has some experience in civil rights cases.
Because what's
happening to you is that you're not being offered services because it's too expensive. You have a very unique situation, and it's going to cost them a lot of money to service your family. That's why you probably need a lawyer to make them do this. Hey, Carmen, I want to thank you for calling in and thank you for listening. Please call us in a few weeks and give us an update on what's going on. We've come to the end of the show. This is The Secret, How to Fight Child Service, Protective Services and When. And I want to thank Aaron Carranza for hosting this evening in place of Cynthia. Remember, people, keep Cynthia in your prayers. She's not doing very well, and hopefully she's going to be back next week. And we'll see all of you next week on the radio.